Bibles to James chapter 1 and verse 21. Hallelujah. James chapter 1. Praise God. You know, sometimes, naturally, I have to just admit, this doesn't happen very often for me, but sometimes you don't feel like eating. Again, I'm not really too familiar with that, but I do know that that's, you know, sometimes you just don't feel like it. Maybe you're busy or you're tired. But, you know, sometimes you just have to eat because to get strength or, you know, nourishment and to keep your body going. And, you know, sometimes when it comes time for the Word, because the Word is spiritual. Amen. And we live in a natural body and we have a natural mind. The Bible says it's going to fight the spirit realm. And so your spirit is excited to eat tonight. Your flesh and your mind might be fighting it and upset, but just know it's good for you. Amen. It's just good for you. We just pull up to the table and we eat. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, James chapter 1, let's pray. Father, again, we are honored. You are a great God, Father. You are. There is nothing and nobody like you. You are a great, merciful, kind God. And Father, I'm not ashamed to say I am in love with you and your Son and your Holy Ghost. Praise God. I am just thrilled with the Trinity. So thankful, Father, for all that you are. Three in one. Grateful for the Father. Grateful for the Son. And grateful for the Holy Ghost. You are all three great. And we praise you tonight and thank you for what's about to take place. This is our help. This is our mail from heaven. This is where we open up the Word and find out what are you saying to us to bring us higher and get us into a better place. And so, Father, we will obey. We will yield to your Word. But, Father, I thank you that this is going to be a supernatural service. You're going to speak things through me tonight that will be not my own words, but words from heaven. And Father, it'll hit bullseyes in people's hearts because that's what you do here. And we just thank you for this time together. And Father, there are so many faithful people here tonight that have made a high 80-degree summer night, a night to go to church. Bless them for that, Father. Make them walk out of here with something so great and make it known to them that it was worth the effort to be here. And Father, we'll give you the praise and glory for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, we've been on talking about the mind the last 3 weeks, and I wasn't sure if we were going to get off it tonight, but we're not. So James chapter 1 and verse 21 says, "Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls." Now, I don't have time to do all sorts of review, but we have these online. That soul's there is not talking about your spirit. They're already born again people that this was written to. It's talking about your mind, your will, and your emotions. So evidently, your mind, your will, and your emotions need some saving. Amen. That word saving there means to rescue from danger. Praise God. So I guess the born-again believer, once they get saved, they didn't just arrive. You were born, but you know, just like when a baby arrives on the scene, well, they got growing up to do, they got discipline to learn, they got rules to follow and different things like that if they're going to grow. And if they don't learn and grow and follow the rules, I'll just say it this way. It's bad for my six-year-old son to still act like a two-year-old. Yeah. Right? It's not going to do him any good. He won't do well in school that way. He'll get in trouble a lot of times, right? And just not advance. Well, it's the same way as a Christian. We get born and we didn't arrive. Our souls need saving. Amen. Our minds, our will, and our emotions need saving. Well, then 3 John 2. Again, we're just flying through this to get to where we need to go. 3 John 2. He says, "Beloved, I wish," John writing through the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, this wasn't John's wishes, this was God's wishes, "I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health." Well, I can't think of any two other things that I'd want for my children either. So of course God would want you to prosper and be in health. He's a good father. He's not just a great God, he's a good father. He's a loving father, a merciful father. And every parent I know in here wants the same things for their children, to prosper and to be in health. But notice it says, even as your soul prospers. You could say it this way, that your prosperity, your health, your well-being in the natural on the earth is dependent upon how your mind, your will, and your emotions prosper. Well, if they're in danger and not rescued and you don't save that, it's not going to have much prosperity in the natural. That verse is saying that your natural well-being is dependent upon what you do with what's between your ears. Yeah, absolutely. It's the truth. It's the truth. We saw it with Adam and Eve, didn't we? Adam and Eve lost everything that God had prepared and set them up for by wrong thinking. The devil didn't force them. All he did was suggest something to their minds. They didn't think right. They were then disqualified from the blessing, right? So we need to think right, or we will not walk into the prosperity. We will not walk into the health that God has laid out for us. And so it's important that we think right. And it's important that we think according to the Word. Doesn't it say receive with meekness the engrafted Word, which is able to save your souls? What is the remedy to the mind, will, and the emotions? The Word.
Amen.
The Word keeps you safe from yourself.
Hallelujah.
I'll tell you, I've had crazy thoughts. I've had crazy feelings. I've had crazy emotions before. But thank God for the Word. Because when those thoughts and emotions and feelings rise up and cause you to act outside the boundaries of the Word of God, that's when danger comes. But see, when the mind and the thoughts and the emotions and the feelings rise up so strong, if your mind's renewed to the Word, you just go the Word's way regardless of what you see, what you feel, what you think. That's why it saves your soul. Because if you're thinking wrong, you're living wrong. If you're thinking wrong, you're believing wrong. You're talking wrong. It's all predicated on the mind. Hallelujah. So now go with me tonight to Romans 8 and verse 6. Romans 8 and verse 6. I want to help people with this. I want to help people have victory in their lives. I want to help people have joy and peace, prosperity and health in their lives. Romans 8 and verse 6 says, "For to be carnally minded, that is what? Death." Well, you have to understand, Jesus said in John 6, "My words are spirit." So the spirit and the carnal are two separate things. The carnal is the natural fleshly realm. So he's saying to be carnally or naturally fleshly, emotionally minded, that leads to death. But to be spiritually minded, which would be ultimately mind on the Word, is what? Life and peace. And that word life there is the same word life, zoe, that's found in John 10 and verse 10, where Jesus said, "I've come to give you the abundant life," or in the Greek, the abundant zoe, which means the life of God, the kind of life that God enjoys. Well, the Bible says you'll never get that, being carnally minded, being emotionally minded, being physically minded, being mentally minded. You have to be spiritually minded to walk into those things. What? The Word, the mind on the Word. Why? Because the Word can save your soul. Spiritually minded, and notice it says there, the carnal mind leads to death. I wish people would understand what a liar the devil is. The Bible says he's the father of lies. It's in his nature to lie. Because when he talks and says things to your mind that are contrary to the Word, it's not to do anything but to ultimately get you to a place of destruction. What he said to Adam and Eve sounded good. Oh, you can eat that. I mean, it's always good when things that are taken or, you know, restricted are opened up to you, right? That felt good to them. Oh, it's because isn't that where sometimes kids are drawn to? The very things they can't have, right? And then when they can have it, it's like, ooh, excitement, right? I mean, Caleb, you should see the look on his face when he finally asked me, "Can I have your phone?" And I say, "Yes." Because usually it's, "No, you can't touch that thing. Don't touch that," right? But then all of a sudden, and that's what he wants. He has all these toys, and that's what he's drawn to, right? And things like that. Well, that's the same way. And then Adam and Eve were told that they'd be like gods. So it sounded nice, but the end result was, let's just get them into this trap. And I wish people would understand that anything, any thought, emotion, or feeling outside the Bible is only attempting to lead you into a pit of destruction.
Yeah. Right.
That as sweet as it sounds, as good as it sounds, and as wonderful as it may sound, and you have these imaginations, that's why the Bible says cast down imaginations, and you have thoughts and you have played scenarios out in your mind and you've cast visions of what life could be listening to those voices, it's always an attempt to get you in destruction. Always. And that's what that verse says, to be carnally minded or to think like the devil or think like the world is going to lead to death in things. Death in your finances. Death in the well-being of your health and different things. And we saw that it's always kind of doesn't just crumble overnight. It slowly starts to deteriorate. And that's part of the devil's plan too, because he wants to get as many people in on it. He wants to wreak as much havoc and damage as he can. And so let me just say this. Let me make an apology right now to the church. Stinking forgive me for teaching you to live holy, for teaching you to be a doer of the word. I mean, what is wrong with me? See, the people that look at it that way have not seen the love and the channel or the avenue of love that the word was written in. God forbid and forgive me, Lord, for telling people how to do right by their money, right by their marriage, right by their children. All I'm trying to do is spare people from death. Because I know, and I tell you what, I know as well as anybody, because I have told you that, I think I said this Sunday, that times that I've missed it. Remember the athlete? You talk to certain athletes that have multiple championships, high competitive type people. I mean, they got tons of championship rings. And you ask them, what do you remember most about your career? They'll say, the one that I lost. Wait a minute, that one stands out. Well, I can say the same thing. God has done a lot of things in my life. But I'll tell you what, some of the things that stand out the most are when I missed it. And saw that it's true. When you go the natural route and you go the enemy's route and you listen to those voices, it does lead to death. The Bible's true. Just as much as you're banking on when you die to go to heaven, that's true. Just as much. Praise God. So if people would understand that we're trying to get you out of a carnal, I mean, just do anything we can, kicking and screaming and pulling, get you out of the carnal, not take it as religion, not take it as rules and regulations, not take it as being picked on, not take it as being targeted, but take it as somebody loves you enough to tell you you're going to end up in a bad place. Yeah, that's why we do this stuff, because I don't want to see death for people. But to have a spirit life that leads to that life and peace. Now listen to this, this is where we're going tonight. To live in the spirit realm, which is the realm where God dwells, where the realm where the life and peace, the abundant life dwells. That means you have to be more conscious of God than anything else. If you're going to have a life that's lived in the Spirit, because the Bible says to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded, well, to be spiritually minded, that means your mind is going to have to be on the things of God. You're going to have to be more conscious of God than anything else. And you're going to have to be learn to follow the guidance of the Holy Ghost to live a life in the Spirit, to have that life in peace. Go with me real quick, and this will clear up more in a second. Acts 13:22. Praise God. Our minds. What did he say? Carnally minded, death, spiritually minded. See how much depends on our thought life? So much depends on our thought life. While the opposite of, beloved, I wish above all things that thou prosper and be in health is, beloved, I wish above all things that you're going to be in poverty and walk in sickness. That's the opposite of that. And it says, even as your soul prospers. So you could say it this way, if your soul doesn't prosper, you will walk into sickness. You will walk into poverty. You will walk into heartache. And that goes along with Romans 8:6, to be carnally minded is death. So we need to get our minds right. This is the fourth week in a row we've preached on the mind. I just can't get off it on a Wednesday night. I tried. I started looking at blind Bartimaeus today, and the Holy Ghost said, why are you here? I don't know. I want to see how he's doing. I like blind Bartimaeus. Sorry, I'll leave him alone. Bye. See you, Bart. Going over here now. Praise God. Acts 13:22. And when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave this testimony. Listen to this testimony about David. I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. One translation says, a man whose heart beats like mine. That's what God said about David. That's what God said about David. Which shall fulfill all my will. Well, what's the will of God? The word of God is the will of God. He said, David, like I always say, you put that on my tombstone, man, I made it. Yeah. Right? Pastor Mike Anderson, a man after God's own heart. I'll tell you, you get that testimony, you did something right. Right? You did something right. Well, now go with me to Psalm 23 and verse 1. Remember, carnally minded death, spiritually minded life and peace. To be spiritually minded or to live in the spirit, one's going to have to be more conscious of God than anything else. What's more conscious of God mean? Understanding that he's everywhere, that he's with you. And I'm going to help you with that, to renew your mind of that. To understand that he's there, right? He's there in the times of trouble. He's there in the times of sadness. He's there in the times of heartache. But Psalms 23:1, so we see David was a man after God's own heart. Well, let's find out a little bit about him. Notice David, as we read this, let me give you something to be looking for as we read this verse about David, the man that God said, that guy has a heart like mine. What better testimony could one have than a heart like God? Holy cow. Sign me up. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not lack. I shall not want. Right? He understood. Provision was his because he had a shepherd and his name was the Lord. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Well, making somebody lie down in green pastures means you're right there. It's kind of like when we put the kids to bed, right? We're right there making them lay down, put the covers over top of them, right? That means he understood God's the one right there making me lay down in lush green pastures. He leadeth me. Well, to lead someone, you gotta. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Can you start to see a trend that David understood something about the consciousness of God or about the presence of God in his life? Yeah. Yeah. Verse 3. He restoreth my soul. Here he goes again. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Verse 4. Yes, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. David said, yes, I live in a world run by the devil. Yes, there's going to be tests and trials. Sure. Yes, things are going to get hard at times. Yes, things are going to look scary. I will fear no evil. But how could you fear no evil, David, walking through the valley of the shadow of death? Because he knew something. He had a consciousness of something. What? A consciousness of God. He said, though I walk through that valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because you're with me. You're with me. I'm not going alone through this valley of the shadow of death. You're with me. I don't have to fear your rod and staff that comfort me, verse 5. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Now, for God to prepare the table, he understood God's right there. You know, when grandma prepares the table or mom prepares the table or whoever's doing the cooking prepares the table, they're there setting it right on the table. Now, that was not trying to be a sexist remark. That's just in my home, grandma does it. You don't want the guys doing it in my home, right? Now, that might be different in your home, but I'm just saying in my home. But they're there setting the table. They're there cooking it up and bringing it to the table. He said, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. He says, things are so good, Lord, I can have a good life in the middle of it all. In the middle of it all. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. That's a consciousness and an awareness that God is present. He says, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Why? Because that's where God is. Praise God. Now let me ask you this, because remember, life and death depend on your mind. Right? To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So everything has to do and rides on the mind. It does. Got to think right. So then look at this and go with me to, well, let's go to Romans 12 just to get there. We'll get there in a second. But I want to ask a question. And then I want to make a statement that I'll never forget. I heard a minister make this statement, and it has stuck with me and been ingrained in me, and it is so true. But let me ask you this question. How would our lives be different, okay, if we were ever mindful of God's presence? How would that affect our marriage? How would that affect our finances? How would that affect our job performance? How would that affect our serving in the local church? How would that affect a whole lot of things if we were ever mindful of God's presence. To be spiritually minded means to have a mind that is constantly thinking on God. You say, that sounds too extreme. Oh, you don't like life and peace? You don't like, because he said, if I keep my mind on him, life and peace will be the result. Hallelujah. And this is what this minister said. I believe it was Pastor Nancy Dufresne. Says, a man's perception. Notice this. A man's perception of God's nearness is the thing that marks them for glory. Notice that. A man's perception, a man's consciousness, a man's revelation or understanding of the nearness of God, that's what marks him for glory. Do you see that? A man's perception of God's nearness is what marks him for glory. Because, notice this, the statement's not over. When a person knows that God is present, now listen to this, he lives a more faith-filled, honorable, holy, fearless, joyful, and loving life. When one understands that God is present, that marks them for glory, causes them to live a more faith-filled, more honorable life. A more holy life, right? It's true. This is why people struggle so much. God is everywhere, right? Brother Hagin said this. He said, there's enough power in every sick room, in every hospital around the whole world. Jesus told him this. There's enough power in every hospital, in every sick room around the world to raise every single person up from the sick bed. But why doesn't it happen is because the power doesn't get tapped into because people are not aware of the power. Yeah. God is everywhere. God is ever present. God doesn't just take breaks. He's not somewhere and not somewhere else. He's everywhere. Well, where he is, his power is. Amen. Where he goes, his ability goes. His deliverance, his miracles, his signs and wonders ability go with him. Well, then why, then, if God's everywhere, why aren't people in personal lives and in churches and in nations, why isn't this power being manifested? Because people aren't tapping into it. They're unaware of it. That's right. They're unaware of it. Yeah. We have to tap into his power. Amen. Absolutely. And that's why a man's perception of God's nearness is what marks him for glory, because when one knows God is present, that man or woman will live a more faith-filled, honorable, fearless, joyful, and loving life. Think about this for a second when you think about the power. Because some people will say, I'm not seeing the power in my life. How aware are you that the power is present? Because the more aware you are of it, the more you'll tap into it. Yeah. And imagine if you took somebody from the 1200s. I don't know, this number came to me. And at midnight, you drop them in the middle of your home for the first time and said, there's a 1,000-piece jigsaw puzzle in one of the rooms in the home. I want you to go put that together for me, whatever, you know, just example that came to my mind. Well, at midnight, there would be no light, right? And let's say you're not living near streetlights, you're out in the country and you don't have any light. Lights are off. That's what we're saying at midnight. It's dark. And you put them there. Well, they're going to struggle. Sure. From the 1200s, they don't know about electricity. Right. They don't know that flashlights exist. They know maybe about how to make a light source, but they don't know where that is in the house to get stuff to make light. Yeah. And so there they're going to stumble around. And yet the whole time in your house, there was the ability to make them not stumble around. The whole time, the power was there. They just didn't know how to tap into it. And one of the ways we're going to tap into the presence of God is to understand the power of God is to understand his presence in our life. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Why? Because when you're spiritually minded, your thoughts are on Him. You're thinking about Him. It's what would God do? Because the more you do things like God, the more you get things like God gets.
Hallelujah.
Absolutely. Praise God. So they wouldn't do very well. So go with me now to Romans 12:2, which you're there. It says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Because you need to renew your mind. To be spiritually minded, it is going to have to be a renewal of the mind.
Right.
It is going to have to be a new way of thinking. It is going to have to be setting your thoughts and your mind on different things and a new way of thinking, a new way of doing things. And so how do we renew our mind? We renew our mind with a tool we've been given to renew our mind with, the Word of God. We just think different. So go with me to a few scriptures, Ephesians 2 and verse 13. Now remember this now, that God is God all the time. Right? I love that song they do out west in California. I don't remember all the words, but I remember it says, God is God in the back row. God's God in the front row. God's God in the sanctuary. God's God in New York City. God's God in Tennessee. Wherever God is, He's God.
Right.
He didn't manifest Himself, or I shouldn't say manifest, or have be everywhere and not bring all that He is with Him.
Yeah. Amen.
You understand what I mean by that? His healing abilities are with Him everywhere He goes.
Right.
His deliverance and breaking chains off the captives and bondage destroying, yoke destroying God is with Him all the time.
Amen.
His wisdom, His advice for you, it's with Him all the time. And so wherever He goes, He takes what He is with Him. Ephesians 2:13 says, but now in Christ Jesus, are you in Christ Jesus tonight?
Amen.
If you're born again, you are. You who sometimes were far off are made or have been made near by the blood of Christ. You know, people they'll write on blue cards, they'll say to me, God seems so far from me, their mind's not renewed. He's near. The blood of Jesus tore down that wall. The blood of Jesus took God out of the temple and took God right to you. That's why I can't stand songs, and I'll change the words to songs that say, just want to be closer to you. Just want to be close. Oh, if I could just be closer to you. He can't get any closer to you.
Right.
You haven't renewed your mind to that fact. And actually, that's why a lot of the power is lacking in people's lives.
Good.
That's why there's not a lot of faith in people's lives. That's why there's not a lot of honor in people's lives. That's why there's not a lot of holiness in people's lives. They're not aware of the presence of God. John 14 and verse 16. John 14 and verse 16. Yeah. I see that. How do you want me to handle that, Jesus? I'll do whatever you say. John 14 and verse 16. John 14:16. It says, I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees Him not, neither knoweth Him. But you know Him, for He dwells with you and shall be in you. So the Bible says that the Holy Ghost is on the inside of you. Well, real quick, hold your place there, but flip over to 1 John chapter 5 and verse 7, or just follow along and look on the screen. 1 John 5 and verse 7. There are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word, which the Word is Jesus. The Bible says Jesus became flesh. He is the Word. And the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. Okay, do you see that? So then when you go back to John 14, when it says the Spirit of God is on the inside of you, that's God. It's not some lesser version of God. That's God. That's the amazing miracle of Christianity. That's what sets us apart from every other religion, is God lives in you. But people aren't aware of that, aren't aware of the presence in the location of God in their life. Hebrews 13 and verse 5. Hebrews 13 and verse 5. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I'll never leave you. I'll never leave you. I never want to go anywhere. Let me help some things here. A renewed mind to this, okay? Let me kind of explain what I mean by this. I told the, you know, in youth group, you find that kids really struggle in their flesh a lot. You see it in adults too, but kids, you know, the hormones and just, you know, influences with people in school and just different things. And if they don't have a good home life, there's not the right boundaries and standards. And so they're being bombarded with worldly things, right? And so that builds a lot of carnality in kids a lot of times. It happens the same way with adults when they don't do things God's way. But I said to them, I said, you want to know the answer to the sin problem? Because the wages of sin is death. Can we just be honest about that, right? I don't know why it's bad to talk about sin. Jesus went to the cross and paid for it. We still shouldn't be wandering around in sin. That sent Jesus to the cross, right? I mean, the balance to that is there's mercy and grace when we do slip up, but that's not where we should be dwelling. And it will never lead to anything right. It always leads to heartache and hurt and things like that. I said, the answer to your problems is if you'd renew your mind to this verse, I said, you won't sin anymore. What do you mean, Pastor Mike? I said, let me come spend all day with you for the next week. I said, you won't watch what you watch. You won't talk that way to your parents. You won't do to your body what you do. Same thing with adults. Oh, if you knew God was with you all the time, let me come spend a week with you. I guarantee people are different. Why? People are different when they walk through these doors to me than they are at home. It's true. You wouldn't talk that way to your spouse if I was with you. You know why? I'll tell on myself in a second because I was living proof of this. I saw this in my own life. You wouldn't put that in your body if your pastor was with you. It's just true. You'd find the restraint. I'm just saying if you renew your mind to God being there, these things that are causing you to struggle, they'll be wiped away and you'll be blessed. That's the point of it all. Not to you're bad and you're terrible. No, I'm not that. I don't want to get you down the road to death. Yeah. You know when people will not be corrected by the word through their pastor, through the Holy Ghost, through someone telling them the word, it's a pride thing. I don't want to be corrected. I've been there. I'm telling on myself. I've been there. I've been the biggest pride bag the world's ever seen at times. Just uncorrectable. But listen to how much pride is such a lie. And this dropped into my spirit the other day as I was taking the cover off the swimming pool for the kids. That the devil is a deceiver. The Bible says he deceives the nations. Well, people that don't like the correction from the word, that take the word as you're trying to dictate my life, you're trying to run my life, you're trying to do this and that. When you don't do the word, ladies and gentlemen, you have to understand, you are listening and obeying the devil. Yet in the same breath, you can say, I don't want someone to tell me what to do. But in the same time, your actions are saying, I'm your slave, devil. Tell me what to do. I want to listen to you. So you're talking about both sides of your mouth when you say, I don't want to be corrected. I don't want to listen to something. But at the same time, you're saying to the devil, tell me what to do. I'll listen to you, pal. You might not know you're saying that, but that's what you're doing. And it's just deception. And I tell you what, let me spend time in your house. You wouldn't watch certain things. You wouldn't talk certain ways. You wouldn't put certain things in your body. How much more if you'd get the revelation that God is with you. That's why the Bible says a man's perception in life. If God was standing right next to you and the bill showed up that you can't pay, you're not fretting. God's there. You're not worried, right? A man's perception of God's nearness is the thing that will mark him for glory. For when one knows that God is near, they live a more faith-filled, honorable, loving, and holy life. And those youth group kids agreed. Because I saw them when their parents would pick them up, how they would talk to their parents. And then I saw them when they thought I wasn't around. It's kind of like my kids, you know, when, you know, they might be doing something wrong, but when daddy walks in the room and daddy's presence is there, stop and get in line, do it right.
Sure.
I remember Pastor Michael came over years ago. This is when we were in our old house. And my pastor was there, so I'll tell you what, you talk about husband of the year. I mean, husband of the year was, I mean, just all of a sudden created at 160 Park Street in Jamestown, New York. I mean, I could have got the badge, the trophy for husband of the year. I mean, you talk about sweet talking to my wife. You talk about pulling out the chair, picking up the plates, doing things that I'd never done before. Acting and talking in ways I never acted before. She probably thought, who in the world is this? I don't know this guy. Pastor, there's an imposter here. And I'll tell you, I did. Why? Because I was in the presence of somebody that mattered to me, who I wanted to please, who I wanted to do right by. Right?
Yeah.
And so he, the whole time my spirit's grieving, spirit's grieved me on the inside, my spirit's grieved. And the Holy Ghost said this to me, you act that way when he's around, how much more should you act that way when I'm always around? He was basically saying, yes, your pastor's a great man, but I'm way better. I'm God. It's true. Do you see why? If your mind is on God, it causes you to, if you have an awareness that he's always there, you don't disobey the word because you wouldn't if he really was. Yeah. It's just the truth. That's what marks a man for glory.
Hallelujah.
Now go with me to Mark chapter 4 and verse 35. Just to throw this in there while you're turning, Mark or John, 1 John 4:4 says, greater is he that is in you. He can't get any more closer.
Yeah.
I mean, The devil will twist things, again, to make the Word of God seem like the drudgery in your life, to make the Word of God seem like the life killer or the joy killer or the fun killer. When, again, the Word, all the Word is boundaries of blessing to keep you on the highway of abundant life. That's all the Word does. The boundaries of finances, the boundaries of love, the boundaries of forgiveness, the boundaries of faith, if we'll stay in the confines of it, we are on the abundant life highway, the throughway of abundant life. And there's no speed limit, and you just go as fast as you want for those blessings. It's just the truth. But see, when people look at the Word in the through the wrong light, when they look at the Word, they look at it as, oh my gosh, this, what you want me to do with my money? This is what you want me to do with my marriage? This is what you want me to do with character, whatever. And so then they say, just like, what did the devil say? The devil said, eat the tree from the tree. What was the devil doing? I want to take you outside of that throughway. Let's take a little exit down to stealing, destroying, and killing lane, avenue, boulevard. That's what he did. When they came outside of the confines of the blessing boundaries, the blessing stopped. They got into stealing, killing, and destroying. It's, yeah, praise God. So we got to look at the Word right. Think about, what are we thinking on, right? And we all know it's true. We all know it's true that we perk up and act different when we walk through these doors and other people see us. And that's not who we really are. Who we really are the one person at home bad-mouthing our spouse, speaking horrible things to our children. Right? Complaining about the pastor. You're going to hug me? And at the same time, you're going to hug me and at the same time, tell me you love me and at the same time, badmouth me and bash me? That's what Judas did. That's who you really are. Who is Judas? Judas wasn't the one that hugged Jesus and kissed him. Judas was really the one that said, I'll take the money. There he is. Go get him. That's what Judas did. He betrayed the Savior with a kiss. Yeah. You're going to talk to my kids and be sweet to my kids and badmouth me outside of this place? That's who you really are then. Hugging me and hugging people and, you know, I mean, we all can say, my God, we got work to do. Right? We got work to do. I'm telling for myself too, as I preach this, my heart's being smote. Yeah. All right, big shot, put your money where your mouth is. Start doing it. Yes, sir, I will. Amen. Not mad that you corrected me either, Father. Thank you. Because I want to be as much like you as I can. Because that's where the blessing is. Mark 4 and verse 3. I know these are real popular things, but you keep coming back for more. It's your own fault. Mark 4 and verse 35 says, the same day when evening was come, he said unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him, even as he was in the ship. Hallelujah. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was asleep in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on the pillow, and they woke him up and said, Master, you carried out that we're dying. Verse 39, he rose, rebuked the wind and the sea. Peace be still, the wind ceased. There was a great calm, and he said to them, why are you so afraid? How is it that you have no faith? Think about this situation here. This is as worst as it can get. Why did they get afraid? They forgot who was in the boat, didn't they? Thank you, Steve. They forgot who was in the boat. And who was in the boat? Jesus and all the abilities that came with Jesus. All the power and all the abilities and all the strength that came with Jesus was in that boat. Praise God. And had they recognized or perceived who's with me, this boat can't sink because he's here, right? Think about when, ding dong, oh, who's there? Oh, hi, hell. Hi, poverty. Hi, financial tests and trials. Hi, sickness. Hi, disease. Hi, all those things, right? Well, how much better can you respond knowing you're not opening that door and looking at that yourself? See, when you try to do it in your own power and in your own mind and your own thinking and your own strength, you're going to fail. Yeah. That's why the Bible says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. You got to do it his way. Well, if you have a perception that God is in the boat with me, God is here with me. God, what is God? Jehovah Jireh, the provider. When your finances are low, God provides. When your body's being tested, God's the healer. That's who God is. But see, when you face these things financially, these things in your marriage, these things with your kids, these things in your job, by yourself with no perception, you're going to get bogged down. Why? You can't handle it. You can't handle the devil, ladies and gentlemen. Let me tell you this. You can't handle the devil in your own power. He will eat your lunch. Absolutely eat your lunch. You are not equipped on your own, but with God, you're a victor. With God, you have the victory. With God, you have, Jesus said, greater is he than he is in the world. And so we can't forget, praise God, who's with us. Think about this, and we'll fix the clothes here. David, when he went up against Goliath, a whole trained army was afraid. A whole trained army was shivering and quivering and quaking back in their bunker over one man. And David, a shepherd teenage boy, shows up on the scene and says, what's the deal here? What is wrong with you guys? Well, why? Remember David in Psalm 23. He ever knew that God was with him. He ever knew that God was present. And where God came, there was a strength. I want to show you some things and then we'll close. Psalm 25 and verse 15. What would make, because let's face it, David was in just as much of a life-threatening natural situation as the disciples were, right?
Yeah.
Do you agree with that? I mean, here Goliath was a skilled man of war. He had all the gear. He had all the stuff. He had all the training, and there was a shepherd boy. Naturally speaking, game over. This ain't even a close battle. This ain't even something that is going to be closely contested in the natural. Well, just the same way, a group of guys on a boat in a hurricane, one translation said it was a hurricane-type storm, no match for a hurricane. There's no natural thing you can do against a hurricane. You can try to board up some windows and things, but when you're on a boat in the middle of the water and it's filling up and it's starting to sink, you're done. So they're both in the same life-threatening situation, yet one of them never fears, never shakes, never trembles, actually run towards the problem. Why? David had a different... They had God in the boat in the natural, and they still couldn't handle it. Well, Psalm 25 and verse 15 says, my eyes... Now look at this. What's different about David? My eyes are ever... or constantly towards the Lord. Do you see that? What? To live carnally minded is death. To live spiritually minded is life and peace. Hallelujah. Carnally minded. Now go to Psalm 27, verse 8, and we'll close this thing up. Can't forget who is in us. Can't forget who's with us. Psalm 27 and verse 8. So when you said, seek my face, my heart said unto you, Lord, your face I will seek. Now I'm going to pull that up in a second in the Amplified. When you are really, you ever lost your cell phone and absolutely gone into a holy panic? I mean, I do because I rely on it so much, right? There's so much I can do from that thing. There's so much I have on it. So much Brother Hagin, so much Pastor Nancy, so much Pastor Michael, so much notes and things, texts to people, different things. It's very important, you know, just this day and age we live in, it's very important for me to have that thing. And so when I lose that thing, can't find it, which I do that quite a bit, you'd be shocked. You'd say, well, I'll just put it in the same place every time. And my credit cards, my keys, and my cell phone. It's like, you'd think I'd learn by now, but it's always worth leaving without it and stuff. And so when I do lose that and realize, oh, I don't know where that is, I don't just do this, just casually kind of just look around. No, it's important to me and vital to me. So, man, I am looking, and I am looking relentlessly. Under clothes, in, you know, under the couch, under tables, under chairs, in between the seats of my truck and things like that. Why? And that's called seeking. I'm seeking out something, right? David said, Lord, when you said, seek my face, my heart said, your face, Lord, will I seek. That was saying, Lord, I'm not just casually pursuing your face, which is your presence. I am seeking you with all I got. Now, Heather, if you'd pull that up in the Amplified. You have said, seek my face. Inquire for and require my presence. Now, notice this, as your vital need. The Hebrew of that verse said that David said, God, you told me to go after you like it's my vital need, like my life depends on it. My heart says to you, your face, your presence, Lord, will I seek, inquire for, and require of necessity and on the authority of the word. So why is David in a life and death situation? Remember, a man's perception of God's nearness marks him for glory. He'll live a more faith-filled, honorable, joy, right-filled life, holy life. Why was David able to respond so differently than the disciples? Because David constantly had a presence and an awareness, God is near. God is with me. God is near and God is with me. Do you see that? Ladies and gentlemen, you got to get your minds on Him. To be carnally minded is life. And so how do I get my mind on Him? Those scriptures I gave you, Ephesians 2:13, Hebrews 13:5, 1 John 4 and 4, John 14, verse 16 and 17. Renewing your mind to know God's with me. Remember I told you that when I got this revelation the most was when I was turkey hunting with my cousin Sarah. If I ever refer to a cousin named Bear, that's her. And we went turkey hunting from dark till noon. And it hit me. Man, we talked the whole time, you know. Just fellowshipped and goofed off and things. And the Spirit of God said, how weird would it have been to be with her all day next to you and not acknowledge her? To not realize... And I said, He said, I'm always with you. I'm always there. When the bills come that you can't pay, I'm there. When the sickness and the symptoms come that look scary, I'm there. When you don't know where to go or what to do and things aren't working out, I'm there. So he told me. I said, wow, how backwards is it that we go, we say things, if we had the presence of God, knew, understood, we wouldn't say them. We act a certain way. We get down a certain way. We all sorts of different things. Why? We just don't have an awareness. But if we would have that awareness, it would shape us up. Our faith would grow. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. He's here, people. Amen.